Somebody laughs at our show.
From a famous tattered sleeve, he pulls the ace of innocence, kills another fifth of whiskey, swears it's a defense.
Hey everyone, tonight, who insults my mom? Are deaf people handicapped? How do I feel about destroying a butterfly's life, my horrible-looking pants, and is Lana Del Rey a piece of shit? Stay tuned.
What a tired way to die. And all these little cats.
Welcome to another great one. We are loaded and it's midnight 09. 12:09 in the midnight. Do you want to know how good of an adult I am? When I set an alarm to wake up at noon, if that doesn't already sell you on it, I set an alarm to wake up at noon. Otherwise, I may not wake up at noon. It may not happen. When I do so, I have to set it for 11:59 a.m. or p.m. so that I know which one I'm doing it for, because there have been multiple incidents where I say, why didn't my alarm go off? And then I refer to my phone and say, ah, because that was the p.m. 12 or that was the a.m. 12. Which one is it? I don't know. When I check the weather application on my iTelephone, it's hard for me to say. You know, it'll say, rain and snow today. And I'm like, hey, idiot, there was no rain and snow today. And then I say, oh, well, it's 2:30 in the morning. Most people don't check it. And it assumes that 2:30 in the morning is the following day. So, of course, to my phone, my iTelephone, it is the following day. So we have a lot to get to on this show. So enough screwing around, okay? Enough setting the scene for you dum-dums who need all this help of me setting the scene. I had a debate tonight that I was not involved in, namely about Lana Del Rey. Do you know who Lana Del Rey is? I did not. I mean, I'd heard the name. I saw a photograph of her and thought that she was clearly a woman. She looked like a woman from a Wes Anderson movie. Okay? That was my thinking. So we had a debate about whether or not she was someone that we needed to listen to. You know? And so I looked her up on the Spotify to see some of her most common songs, such as Born to Die, Video Games, and Diet Mountain Dew, and National Anthem. Now, I started this, and Summer Sadness was a popular one. I started this by singing what I thought the songs were myself. Let's see how they compare. Our friend Val said she enjoyed the song Summertime Sadness. So here's how I assumed that Summertime Sadness went approximately. Summertime sadness is bad. Makes my mood oh so black. Bum, 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 bum. Summer sad, I am sweaty and crotch. Something like that. Let's see how close it is. So far, so good. So far, it's looking like it's going my way. You can go my way. Take my breath away, huh?
Kiss me hard before you go.
All right.
Summertime sadness.
Skip ahead a little.
Summertime, summertime sadness.
So nothing like what I said, huh? Okay, let's try another one. Video games. This is the one our friend Nicanor recommended, which I assumed went a little something like this. Video games, the radio star. No, not at all. Sounds kind of like the other one.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car.
So far, nothing to do with video games. Miss Pac-Man, getting Fat Man, eating Big Mans and Peloton Ghosts. What are you gonna do? Who do you love the most? Mr. Pac-Man or Pac-Man Jr.? It's hard to say. One's the original, other one's gonna feel it. Down in a day.
I say you the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with video games. That was a lie. There was one other one, National Anthem, which I assumed went something like this. Let's see what she says. Okay, this is the same song. Dun 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 dun. Whatever that song is. Oh, you hear fireworks. That's nice. I like that. National anthem, throw your damn hands up. Kid, sing. She sounds sad. Kid, sing. Kid, sing. Who wasn't supposed to make it past 25, but jokes on you, we still alive. There's one other one here. Where did that go? Million Dollar Man that I assumed was about me. Peter Dirt, doing shows, making notes on a pad. It's so sad. What are we gonna do with his bad, bad feelings?
Okay.
Here's our most popular, Born to Die. Very upbeat so far. Okay, I don't even care about this. Here's another one that our friend Val pointed out as proof that she's dumb. Diet Mountain Dew, and this will be the last one. She says, baby, you're no good for me, which maybe she's talking about Diet Mountain Dew, because that is not good for you.
Diet Mountain Dew, baby, New York City. No, was there ever a girl so pretty? Do you think we'll be in love forever? Do you think we'll be in love?
Do I think she'll be in love with Diet Mountain Dew forever? I mean, probably, if she's an adult. If you're an adult and you love Diet Mountain Dew, I don't think you're going to go down. So here was the thing. Our friend Nicanor brings up Lana Del Rey is like his guilty pleasure, let's call it. And Val says, she's dumb. And he says, she's cute. And apparently he's been her musical obsession. No. Nicanor hasn't been her musical obsession. I wish I lived in that world. That would be a better world. Where my friend Nicanor, Lana Del Rey, they say, what's your inspiration? She said, I just really like this guy Nicanor. You know, he's what gets me out of bed. Makes me feel good. She's been his musical obsession. And so Val said, I heard this interview with her on World Cafe. NPR, PRI, Public Radio International. And she was real dumb. So I said, guys, I'm going to solve this debate. Okay, I'm a helpful man. I obviously know nothing about this. Here's how much I know about Lana Del Rey. I said, wait a minute. Let me try to guess who Lana Del Rey is. Is this Lana Del Rey? Baby, you're firework. That's Katy Perry. Wake up in the morning. That's Kesha. Okay? So I don't know anything. So I'm the perfect person. It's the perfect situation to solve this debate. So Val heard this on World Cafe, which is part of NPR. Hi, I'm Kesha. Today I'm going to talk about Diet Mountain Dew. I hope you'll stay and join me for a little pick-me-up. Hey, everybody. My name, it's not Kesha, it's Lana Del Rey. I forgot my own name. It's very early and I am toast. Wasted. I've been drinking beers all night. I've been thinking of new songs about diet drinks. There are a lot of them. I'm winking at the camera in my pajama pants and doing a show for people. I've lost my mind. I don't even know where I am or who I would like to have sex with or if I'd like to have sex ever again. Stay tuned. I think we'll find out together as we explore these topics, grammar, and more on PRI. You're welcome. So, we have this bitch, as she's been referred to by the mass media, this harlot. Let's hear just how dumb she may be.
Our guest today on the World Cafe.
That's not me, by the way, in case you can't tell.
Our guest today, Lana Del Rey, had been performing given name Lizzie Grant for a few years after arriving there from Lake Placid, New York, upstate. And
Lake Placid, that's where the giant alligator monster killed the sheriff. That's a tough growing up. I could see how she'd have a lot of material to discuss.
Then came this new performing persona and self-edited video for the song.
By the way, she looks like a Wes Anderson character.
Video games. 13 million views off the bat and a lot of discussion ensued.
Right off the
bat.
Even
more discussion after her obviously nervous performance on Saturday Night Live.
Oof.
Well,
yeah.
She is here today to perform unadorned in our...
So she had a nervous performance on Saturday Night Live. Now, I've said many a time, I think that's a horrible stage because everyone sounds like shit on Saturday Night Live. Should we look at what she did? SNL, Blue Jeans. Oh, wait. Let's look at Lana Del Rey's infamous SNL performance from Gawker. Justin Bieber touched a stripper's ass last night. This is what's on Gawker, by the way. It wants to go so bad, but it's just having a hard time. I'm seeing a picture of an old-time movie camera. All right, here we go. We're seeing a chandelier pulling out. It looks like crap. This video is very slow and choppy. She looks like she's dressed in a gown like she just transformed from a mermaid.
In the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name.
Sounds like a tranny. Oh, there's video games. Okay, she does say that. I don't understand what's so... I mean, it's not good, but... She made two fingers. Okay, this isn't doing it for me. I don't understand what's so horrible about this. I mean, this is bad, but hold on. I want to show you a performance I heard on SNL once that I thought was, like, unbelievably bad. This is a band from the 90s called Soundgarden, who you may remember from being extremely depressed about the suburbs. Okay? Or you may also remember them from... Jimmy Woo, Silver Chain! Okay? So let's just see how they sounded on Saturday Night Live. I'm not going to download a Zoom player executable file. This is madness. Let's hang on. By the way, I have an in-store... In-store. This is a store. Okay, here we go. Here's Soundgarden Saturday Night Live, Burden in My Hand. Let's just see... how good they sounded. Maybe I'll love it. Maybe I've grown as a man. Do you guys feel I've grown as a man? If you answered yes, you were saying something about an erection. Oh, a commercial. How unexpected. In Spanish. About the male. This is about the United States Postal Service, and it's in Spanish. There cannot be two things that I would be more not interested than this U.S. Postal Service in Spanish. Did I complain about my last time at the goddamn post office? How I went there and they were selling a fucking Ray Charles CD like it's goddamn Starbucks, which people complain about Starbucks doing? Their thing is USPS.com, reserved symbol, / Espanol.
Ladies and gentlemen, Soundgarden, go!
Wow. Let's see how they sound. Chris Cornell sounded extremely bad. It's not as bad, but it's pretty bad. He looks like he's taking the most burning shit. A tiny, thin shit. Not a huge shit. But a small, burning shit. So here's my point. I don't think Lana Del Rey so far has proven to me that she's horrible because she was bad on SNL. Because I didn't like SNL performances. But let's see what she has to say.
Our studio. We'll talk as well.
Welcome,
Let's start
Lana.
Off with this performance of the title track of Born to Die.
I hate it so far. But let's give her a chance. Let's give peace a chance.
Don't fail me now. Take me to that finish line. Yeah, my heart, it breaks every step that I take. But I'm hoping at them gates they'll tell me that you're mine. We're walking through the city.
I'm very bored. Can we get to her talking? She sounds like kind of a grandma. She has a dentry.
You just referred to as Lizzie Grant, your real name, performing and releasing an album with David Kahn, who's a pretty amazing producer.
Scott Kahn's brother.
Where is that album? You are going to release that this summer?
It's not this summer, but I mean, I have the rights to that record, so I can release it whenever I choose to.
Hi, I can release a record whenever I choose to.
Now, when you were... what did you learn in those days that kind of informed how you wanted to approach this?
I learned that singing weird is good for people. I really explored myself, and I took a trip to Europe where I really found myself.
Sort of new birth as Lana.
Not too much. I mean, people refer to it as...
I mean, just kidding. I didn't learn anything.
Like a new birth, but or whatever, but it's not. I mean, I released that record with David under the name Lana Del Rey.
Under the name Lana Del Rey.
You know, like, I always wanted a name that sounded as beautiful as the music I thought I was making.
Aww.
And that's really the only, there's not a difference between people or anything. But you don't learn that much as you go along in New York because you're doing things.
You don't really learn anything as you go through life. It's just a cesspool of hell and shit.
By yourself, and it's like hit or miss. I mean, you just are like trying to make it through the day.
Well, that's interesting because people assume
I hate when people do that. You know, people uncomfortably, they go, you're just trying to make it through the day. Yeah, it's, you know what, it's very hard. It must be hard to live in a city where you can walk out and get a fucking slice of pizza two buildings away. That sounds like hell. I feel very, very bad for you.
Your career has been
very bad.
Laid out. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is you yourself were a bit surprised by the reaction.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Actually, I did know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was definitely surprised when anyone listened to the music at all. I had the same sort of...
She sounds like me. I do, you know, and this guy's like, Peter Dirk, I think you are surprised with listening to your podcast. And I say,
I was pretty surprised, yeah. I didn't really, you know it would strike such a power chord with the youth out there. I just thought mostly I was fondling myself in front of a microphone, and this is a way I could lightly fondle myself for about an hour and get money. I'm so rich.
fan base for a very long time, which is just a small kind of group of New Yorkers. And we just kind of sang for each other, which was good. And when I made that video for video...
I just sang for 4 or 5 people in an apartment.
I mean, that's what I'm doing right now, right? Just singing for you guys. Fill up my cup, mazel tov.
Oh, games. That was like maybe the 17th video I've made at that point. I mean, at that point, I was kind of more of an editor than a singer. And so I was really loving making the videos. So
you'd done almost an hour of video.
Well, you went back to that kind of style for Carmen for the video. Did you?
Sure.
Did you do the editing for that?
Of course, yeah. And I searched really carefully and like happily for my footage. Yeah.
But now
nothing like a happy search, huh?
Right.
Oh no, I work very closely with a copyright specialist. Definitely.
That's fascinating. You know what I love hearing about in music is stuff about copyright. That's very interesting to me. Well, so far I don't hate her. I got to be honest, she seems fine. I don't know. I don't really care.
I understand the first one you just took things and got the rights later.
Yeah,
well, it's funny because Carmen to me is as great a name as Lana.
Thank you,
Carmen. I mean, it conjures up a lot of the same imagery.
It does, doesn't it?
This guy seems so pissed. He's like, Jesus, you're really making me do a lot of the work. Carmen seems like an amazing name.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll just keep talking. It seems to conjure a lot.
It's funny, like, I don't even know where the hell that name came from. That was one of those songs where I was walking very late at night, and the beat in my head sort of started matching the beat to my feet, so it was kind of like...
To the beat, to the rhythm of the night. I'm just not interested in this anymore. Guys, we're going to abandon this. I do want to play a little bit of someone I respect, just so
support
we can see a difference.
Support for NPR comes from Deutsche Grammophon.
Which is Deutsche Grammophon. Featuring
Penis
Una Wang. Rachmaninoff.
Conductor Gustavo Dudamel.
Gustavo Dudamel. This is not things I'm making up. This is insane that this is real.
Our guests today are Jason Isbo and Amanda Shires, married songwriters who each have new albums. We're talking with them in our studio.
They both have new albums, guys.
Returning to the full band performances on stage at World Cafe
Live. I'd like to do the full band.
I asked Amanda to give us the backstory on her new song called Bulletproof.
Mainly, this is what happens, you know.
I gotta skip ahead.
Tiger claw from this real Siberia. And I'm thinking.
You may have heard this one. This is called Stockholm.
This isn't really what I was looking for, you guys. Here we go. Let's do this.
This is Fresh
Air. Jesus Christ, this is 46 minutes long.
After our rock critic Ken Tucker gave an enthusiastic review of Jason Isbell's new album,
Are You Comfortable? We are not going to do 46 minutes. We're going to do about 4.
We like the album, too. So we invited Isbell
to come. We like the album, too.
I ain't going out to chop wood. So cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good.
That's somebody I like. This is Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. Anyway, I don't know. So what's the verdict? Is Lana Del Rey dumb? Here's the verdict. It doesn't matter. I think dummies can make really good music, right? I mean, does it matter if you're a dumb piece of shit to me? It's not like I have to have breakfast with you. If I have to have brunch or breakfast with you, it matters if you're a dumb piece of shit. If you just have to make a song called Video Games where you just say, Video Games, the radio star, Pac-Man came and ate your heart. What are you gonna do? I blew a fart on the radio. On the radio. I don't really care. Do whatever you want. It's very unimportant. Okay? So is she stupid? I don't care. I don't care Is that one of her songs? I don't even know. So Lana Del Rey, doesn't matter if she's dumb. I got a card from my optometrist, eye doctor. Is that an optometrist? Let's see. Anyway, here's what it said. It was addressed to me, and it simply said, "Thank you for sending," and then has a large blank, and then says, "The confidence of your referral is the finest compliment," and then she signed it. Here's what it says in all lowercase. "Thank you for sending your mom." This almost seems like a threat to me. "Thanks for sending your mom." If you just say it like that, okay, you could say it, "Thanks for sending your mom." Or you could say it like, "Thanks for sending your mom." See the difference there? One is horrible and makes me feel like shit. It says, "Thanks for sending your mom over here for some sweet action backdoor style." While the other one says, "Thanks for sending your mother, who you care about, and we took great ophthalmological care of." Right? Right. That's what we said. I'm wearing some good pajama pants right now. I got some new pajama pants. Here's what happened. I was putting together a Halloween costume, as I do, and was just perusing various tights and pajama pants options for this costume. Came across these pants, and I was like, "God damn, do those look comfy." And you know how I know they're good? Is because they look like shit. They make me look like a fucking... What's the shape that's created out of two parallel lines and two transversals? Can't remember. It'll come to me. But it makes me look like a hexagon man. Okay? A trapezoid man. Jesus. What an awful show we've created. There's 154 episodes of this where I struggle to think of the word trapezoid and to not look into a camera while I talk. I'm a trapezoid man. How I know that they're great is twofold. A, fold one, is that I could tell they were comfortable because of 2B fold. They look like complete trapezoid shit. So now, for your pleasure listening, I'm going to take a brief dance break in my pajama pants. You'll just have to use the power of your imagination. It's not working, guys. Something happened terribly wrong. I don't know why. Because I hit the wrong knob. I'm loaded. Dance Party USA. I recommend all listeners take a dance break for about 30 seconds, as I'm going to. Here we go. Hit the mic there. Okay, there we go. That's good. 30-second dance break brought to you by my horrible-looking pajama pants that, God forbid, I ever answer the door while wearing. Our next segment of the show, I found a book of questions. Now, these are hypothetical questions. There are 2.5 million copies of this in print, so you may have seen this. Here's why I thought... are you enjoying my little vomity burps into the mic? Is that nice for you? Here's what brought this to my attention. I asked one of the questions of my coworkers and got some very different answers. Let's play a home game. I'm going to say some of the other answers and my answer. I'll do like 3 of the answers that I received. Try to guess which my answer is. So here's the question. In order to win an all-expense-paid 1-week trip to anywhere on Earth, would you rip the wings off of a live butterfly? Now, here are some of the answers I received. See if you at home, playing at home, can guess which answer is mine. Answer A. Absolutely not. You're causing another creature harm, and that's wrong. if you want to just throw that out immediately, I would say, you know, obviously this is not your first time listening to this show. Answer B, thought about it a moment and said, turned red in the face and said, I guess I probably would. Answer C, not only would I rip the wings off a butterfly, I would then place the worm-like body, still alive, on a piece of paper, draw with marker an arrow pointing to him, and at the other end of the arrow, so that it works as a label, write the word fag. Take a picture of this and put it all over the internet. My answer, of course, was B. Or maybe it was C. I don't remember. I mean, a butterfly is just a worm with wings, right? That's all it is. It doesn't really matter. When I tear the wings up, I was like, you know, it would be a more appropriate question, hypothetical. Would you hit a homeless man with a bus in order to win a one-day trip to downtown Denver, you know, which is an hour away? They would pay for a hamburger and a beer. And I'd say, think about it. Depends how homeless and how sure I was that he was dead and not just crippled, right? So there are other questions in this book. I thought they may provide some thought-provoking yet interesting answers. What would you do if your six-year-old daughter's favorite toy, a talking doll, started trying to convince her that she needed a new friend? The next doll in the company's line. So if my daughter's doll came to life and said, buy the next doll. I mean, yeah, you'd have to call a fucking priest and burn it. You know, alive or dead, I don't really care. But you would burn it to death and say some prayers. You know, it's pretty hard to kill Chucky, but it can be done. It can be done. If you had to be obsessed with money, sex, sports, religion, or food, which one would you choose? So you have to have an option. Money, that's boring. Money is boring. And no one else cares about it. And some people get pissed when you're like, how much did that cost? Whoa, buddy. Sex is also boring to be obsessed with. And not good for me to be obsessed with. I was talking to somebody about flings, having a fling, and, you know, I was like, you're not really a fling guy, which I said, well, I think that's been decided by cultural aesthetics, yes. I don't think I have the option, really. Hey, you want to have, like, a one-night stand, and then you can go home and be like, oh, yeah, I fucked the guy with adult braces? No? That's weird. Sports. Absolutely not. You know, that's the rest of the world. And to be obsessed with sports is very sad to me, so I got to pass on that. Religion, that's probably the worst. I'd rather be obsessed with sex. I mean, being religion is basically the same as being obsessed with sex, isn't it? You're a boy fucker or just a fucker. Or food. I would pick food. Because you know what? Food is everywhere. Food is there's never been a better time to be obsessed with food. There are 100 different frozen pizzas at the grocery store, and I could say, I'm going to try every single one tonight. Okay? Food it is. Let's get to some good ones here. Because some of these are good, but some of them are just like, you know, how would you react if you learned that a sad and beautiful poem that touched you deeply had been written by a computer? Okay, good one. Oh, yeah, well, it would be a lot, would be very different from hearing that it was written by a horrible alcoholic who blew his own fucking head off with a shotgun. That would be really terrible. On a typical Sunday, 10,000 people visit the Louvre in Paris. If a wicked sorcerer, this is already good, nothing like a wicked sorcerer to really fuck up someone's day at the Louvre. If a wicked sorcerer threatened to vaporize all the museum's visitors or all of its art, sparing one or the other based on your plea, which would you save? assuming the sorcerer will obliterate both the people and the art if you don't choose. If we kill a bunch of people or a bunch of art, I would just say kill the art. It probably sounds horrible to some people, but come on. Bunch of fucking paintings, who cares? You know what I mean? These buildings burn down. They'll make new art. There are a million assholes out there making stupid piece of shit arts. Okay? I don't even know what the arts are, really. There's one about, would you wake up tomorrow with your lover speaking a native language, which brings me back to my perfect hypothetical that some people have said no to, which I think is really crazy. You meet your dream man or woman, perfect in every way, supports you emotionally the way you need, gives you space if that's what you need, you know, the weird sex stuff, just enough pushback to make you say, okay, he kind of doesn't want to do it, but at the same time, he will do it because he loves me. All of it's great, except every morning he drinks 1 8-ounce glass of urine and you have to watch. It's at the breakfast table. He's not like, hey, wake up so I can drink my piss. But he'll be in his perfect button-up pajamas. He calls them pajamas instead of pajamas. He drinks this clear glass of his own urine. You don't have to see him fill the cup, but you watch him drain it. He just slams the whole cup, and you both say nothing of it, and then he moves. Now, this is a perfect man, whatever that means to you. Rich, super rich, ultra mega rich, handsome, extra handsome, medium handsome, except the urine. Would this be okay with you? I've had some people say, I don't know if I could get over it. And I say, you're out of your fucking mind. You know why? How much stuff do you put up with from your spouse now? I think most people put up with more from their spouses than they can even imagine. You know, spending money, doing very annoying things, you know, bringing home a hurt squirrel that they feel like they're going to nurse back to health because all of a sudden they know about squirrel nurse duties. All of our spouses are awful. This seems like a small price to pay to me. And they always say too, people say this, well, is he good at brushing his teeth? And I say, I would think your perfect spouse would be good at brushing their teeth. Yes. Right? Isn't that a perfect spouse caveat? Oh no, he's your perfect spouse except for drinking urine, and because it's not something you care about, he has no dental hygiene whatsoever. Here we go. If you're the person you were engaged to was in a car crash and became paraplegic, would you back out of the marriage? If not, what if they became a quadriplegic? That's a tough one. That is a tough one. Here's what I always thought. I think if I became a para or a quadriplegic, if I became a plege, if I was pleging a fraternity, I think I would just break up with my girlfriend. I'd be like, go away, because this is insane. I mean, obviously you didn't sign up for this, right? It's very unfair to be like, my mind is still the same, but my body is 100% destroyed. And, you know, you're going to have to go to restaurants and hook up my feeding tube and everything about me physically. I mean, people, I think they think of it like this. I'm getting real deep because we're 40 minutes in and I'm a little loaded. But I think people think of like, oh, so you don't love their soul and their mind. And it's like, hey, listen, it's not just because I said, oh, my God, her cans are paralyzed. That's no good. It's not that. It's like part of what makes you fall for somebody is, you know, I don't know, the way she walked across the room and not so much the way she rolled across the room in a wheelchair. I'm not saying I couldn't fall for someone in a wheelchair. Actually, I would have no problem with that, honestly. Here's what it would require. I would have to be able to say, like, so how do you, you know, take dumps? What happens? If we're banging, what do you feel down there? If the person could not feel their vagina, I mean, but was like, you could still go bang away, I would have to I don't know, it's not very satisfying if the other person's just like, eh, go nuts, I'm going to read a book. You know? That's like every sitcom dad is just like, oh, that's fine, as if I can just bang your peg and you'll just read a book. I'm good with that. But I don't like that. That's not for me. Oh, God, you guys. Can you hear these hiccups? Just like we had at the beginning of the show. So I think, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel if the person, I think I would probably stick with them and support them at least through the, I mean, you can't obviously break up with someone because they're paralyzed. Not because your friends would be like, what an asshole. Because you could always just, you know what the answer is, if you have someone who gets paralyzed and you want to break up with them, break up with them and move to another city. You just say, I got an amazing opportunity to do an internship at NYU. I'm moving to Manhattan. And they'll be like, I couldn't stop you. Who could say no to that? You know. But then, I mean, you don't do it. You just move there. Who cares? No one's going to know. If your mother and father told you that they never really loved or even liked you, and you knew it was absolutely true, how would it affect your life? What if you simply overheard them saying this to someone else? I don't think it would change my life that much. That's a very horrible thing, isn't it? My mom's like, eh. You know, my kid? Forget. I don't think it would make me feel that bad. I don't know. What do you care? You know what I mean? These moms and dads, they just have a kid. And then, there it is. It's just sitting there crying, ruining their lives. Like my fucking upstairs neighbors, who, by the way, are moving out in a week. I am so excited. I wanted to play some real celebratory music or something like that. But, you know, I don't even know what that would sound like. I'm just so happy that these stupid pieces of shit are moving out from upstairs. How's that for you? You like that for your ass? I don't wish them any harm that I would do on them, but if they were moving, driving in a moving truck, and it just got dissolved by acid, I think that would be fine with me. You know, I wouldn't feel the need to go see their funeral pyre. I'm sure that someone would put up an everlasting flame in their memory. That's how great they are, right? Boom. Would you like to have a high-definition nude image of yourself in your physical prime? If not, do you think you might someday wish you could see one? If I could have a physical image of me in my prime, naked, I would take it. I mean, I feel like that mostly means how my dick would look, right? I don't know. Who would not want, like, here's when I look the best? I guess if you looked really horrible at your best, it would be terrible. Or if you felt like, my God, I am fucking miles away from my best, you would probably want to do that, right? But I don't know. Guys, I think I look as good as I've ever looked, which is horrible. I'm a 4 out of 4,000. However, I'm at my peak. I've peaked. Now's the time. Let's do this thing. Light this candle. Right? A large crew is being chosen for an interstellar journey. I don't know what the rest of this question is going to be. I picked it based on that alone. To a distant planet containing the first known extraterrestrial life. The expedition won't return for a century, but the crew will be in suspended animation and age only a few years during the trip. Would you be interested? If not, what, if anything, would change your mind? I would totally do that. What do I have to lose, really? I come back, it's like, oh my God, everyone you knew and loved is dead. And you're like, oh, okay, my mom and my brother. You know, he listens to this show. He would miss some podcasts, that's for sure. But fuck them. I mean, like that one of my 7 listeners, I'm like, oh, fuck him. Who cares? I'm going to go meet an alien. That'll be perfect. Let's see. If you were locked in a time machine, Here's what's funny. You have these two questions on this page. What do you feel more often, gratitude or envy? I'm like, oh, fuck you. That's a dumb question. Who cares? Who's like, oh, I feel very thankful for everything in my life. But then I see, if you were locked in a time machine, and I say, sold. If you're locked in a time machine set for a single one-way trip to the past or future and had 10 minutes to dial in the time and place, when and where would you go? Why? What if it were to be a round trip that would include any family and friends you wanted to bring along and safely return everyone in a week? Oh, man. I'd go to the future. I'd go 100 years in the future. Just see. Because then I could say with authority, like, hey, everything's the fucking same, you guys. The cars look more like eggs. And everyone's still pissed. So let's not get crazy, okay? Fuck you. Would you like to spend the week as someone of the opposite sex? Someone very old, very beautiful, very ugly, or severely handicapped? If so, which one would most intrigue you? Okay, would I spend the week as someone of the opposite sex? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone who would say no to that is crazy, because 1 week, I mean, I would just spend it exploring the vagina, buying clothes to see how horrible that was, and watching Sandra Bullock movies to see if I felt differently. But, you know, I would just be like, oh, okay, this is how this whole vagina works, huh? And I'm not trying to be a funny, like, haha, isn't it funny how guys don't know how a vagina works? No, no. I just, you know, you would really know. It's like buying a fucking orbital sander on Amazon. You just don't know how it's all going to shape out until you're holding it in your hands and it's sanding the shit out of an old desk and you say, oh, God, this is not what I thought. I'm going to have to work out the kinks. Would I spend the week as someone very old? Absolutely not. That would be horrible. Someone very beautiful? I don't think so, because you know what would be horrible about that? I mean, it could be good. If I was super hot, you know, as one of the hottest men, I was John Goodman for a week, and it was pretty much the same, that would be great, because I'd say, all right, I'm not missing out on a lot. But if it was way better, oh my God. You know, I'd be saying, oh my God, I'm so ugly, and I'm missing out on so much. And I'll never have it after this week. How many more weeks do I have in my life? Hundreds? Couple hundred, and I'm not hot. Very ugly. Been there. Severely handicapped. Why would you spend a week? Oh, yeah, I would love to spend a week severely handicapped. To the point where, you know, it's not even a debate. They don't say differently abled. They're like, that guy is fucked up. Severely handicapped. Would you like your partner to be much smarter and much more attractive than you? If so, what is it about you that might hold his or her interest and love? Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously. Who's like, oh, I want someone hideous. I want a 3 of attractiveness and a 1 of intelligence. I'd like an ugly idiot. I mean, everyone wants someone better than they are, right? Here's the only people who don't want... I was talking to someone about a mutual acquaintance who has a husband. Now, this mutual acquaintance is very attractive and motivated and cool, and probably lots of guys like her. Her husband is very jealous. I feel like this is a bad union, and here's why. If you end up marrying someone very attractive... Part of the game is you assume they're attractive to everyone else, right? And you just have to say, like, I must be all right because this person's very attractive and they are attracted to me. Okay? And call it a day. The answer is not to do the don't go out with your friends because they'll make you dance with some guy. So we all want someone more attractive. You just have to grow up and understand what that means. Smarter. Here's the thing. I think you want someone who's as smart as you. I think that's very important. However, if they're vastly smarter than you, That's not a problem. It just depends on if they make you feel stupid. A smart asshole does no one any favors. If you get with a smart asshole, all that means is you spend a lot of time feeling dumb. If you get with a truly smart person who you also like, they will say, I don't want to make this guy feel like an idiot. That was good, huh? Isn't this going really great? You're on an airplane talking pleasantly to a stranger of average appearance. Unexpectedly, the person offers you $30,000 for one night of sex. If you knew there would be no danger and you'd get the money, would you do it? If the payment were meaningfully raised or lowered, at what point would you change your answer? Would I have sex with an average stranger for $30,000? Wow. I mean, absolutely. I would have sex with a hideous stranger for $30,000. I would pay off my debts plus a lot of money. I mean, I don't know. A prostitute, how is there any prostitute who makes $13,000 for banging some? And you know there's no danger. So we're throwing out diseases. We're throwing out crabs. We're throwing out herpes. We're throwing out AIDS. We're throwing out molluscus contagious. We're throwing out HPVs. We're throwing out grids. We're throwing out SIFs. Syphilis. We're throwing out all this shit. We're throwing out husband coming home and annihilating me with a crowbar in the face. We're throwing out video getting online of me banging somebody. All this stuff goes out the window. I mean, yeah, I think I would. This is probably a more difficult question if you're in a relationship of some kind, right? There's no danger. No one would know. But for $30,000, so the question is really, how low would I go to do that? So $1,000, that seems low. $1,000's a good amount of money, don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing $1,000. But, you know, we're talking about like a paycheck there, you know. It's got to be the paycheck of a man who makes about $100,000, right? It's got to be about, I think, $3,000. I think that's my wall where I'd say, God damn, that would change things for me for the next 8 to 18 months. So if anybody's got a hideous mom out there who wants to bang for $18,000 or a attractive mom, Or dad, you know, Pete's in the market. That's the end, obviously, right? That's obviously the end. Where are we going to go from there? I'm like, hey, I'll fuck your dads for a very reasonable price. Send me your dad's emails. You know, I prefer a headshot. I don't really care about the body. That's not super important. Unless they're going to bang me, that changes the price. Not because it's a gay thing, just because it's a discomfort issue for me. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope this show is a comfort in your lives. I hope that wasn't total bullshit. I'm a little loaded. I apologize. Not my best work. But stick with me. You know, we'll have guests. We'll have fun. We're going to make this work, everybody. We've got so many questions left. That was 36 questions out of 280, 90, 1. Okay. So there's a lot more to go. But you all have a great week. You know what? I don't know if I say this enough, but you're all pieces of shit. Nevertheless, I think you deserve to have a good time. So have a good week. Have a good life. Have a good sex with your dad.
All these little cowboys, they can't leave bad enough alone.